Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On today's How Do You Hustle, we have Sam Pierce. She's what many would call the ultimate slashy. She's a producer, she does makeup artistry, and she acts as well. She's featured in a range of Australian films and TV programs. She's also worked as a makeup artist for some big productions in Australia. I've known her for 10 years, and she's just always motivated and inspiring. And I thought, who better to get in to talk about the world of freelancing and wearing multiple hats? And I found this chat really beneficial and pretty candid because we do know each other. So I hope you all enjoy it. I'd like to start the episode by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which I'm recording, the Yugambeh people, and paying respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
So today on How Do You Hustle, we have a very exciting guest. We have Sam Pierce. She's a makeup artist, actor, and producer. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. I feel like I've been like messaging you for a while being like, want to come on? We both have like very different schedules. We're both in a lot of places at once. So hard to align, but I'm very happy that we've got a wine, which is great. And I think
drinking at 10 to 2 is not okay.
I was going to say it's 5 o'clock somewhere. I don't know if it is, but sure. So yeah, you're one of the first, I guess, people that I'm quite close with and that I've known for a really long time to come on the show. So that's quite exciting. And I've been wanting to do more episodes like that where it's people that, you know, I know their story back to front and I just know that they've got something to say, and I think that they can really share some wisdom with my listeners. And I think that's you. You've worn like so many different hats over the years. So tell our listeners what you're doing at the moment, if you can even summarize that, because I know it's a few different things.
No, we'll do it. So at the moment I'm a makeup artist. So I kind of dabble in a lot of different departments. So I'm a makeup artist. I do producing. I do acting as well. And that pops up, and I co-run a business with one of my best mates called One Stop Archer. So we essentially crew out everything to do with art department across the board. So, you know, production companies can come to us and they'll be like, we need costume, we need makeup, we need a builder, for example. And we can just go, boom, here's all the people. And yeah, just so we can keep pumping in the industry and get the right people on the right jobs.
Amazing. And yeah, I feel like it would be remiss of us to not tell the story of how we met. I think it was it's such a funny one, but yeah, I think it was probably, we would have been, I know I was 17, so, and I'm turning 30. But yeah, we were definitely like under the age of 18 or 18, and I just remember, I don't even know how this happened, because I am by no means someone who has ever been on a runway, but I was at the local markets in Brisbane. I just moved to Brisbane from Sunny Coast, and I met this lady at the markets, and she had a vintage clothing brand, and I was trying on all the clothes and like really loved all the stuff. Shout out to Ra Ra Superstar. She's still going, Kathy. In Paddington in Brisbane. And I remember, yeah, she just was like, oh, I'm actually having a little show or
exhibition. Oh,
exhibition.
Yeah,
at the Paddington Vintage Fair or something like that. And she's like, would you want to, like, you know, wear some of the clothes for me? And I was like, oh, okay. Of course.
And by you saying clothes, it's like, I'm going to put 12 different things on you. Nothing will make sense, but off you go.
It was the randomest thing. And it was literally in, do you remember? I haven't been there for years, but it was like in the vintage, the biggest like vintage sort of like warehouse. And it had like, we were walking among all the like furniture and like cabinets. And anyway, we were dressed in like very out there, old school. Like I think one of my outfits was like Parisian and like one of yours was this like super bright, like shiny outfit and like dolled up to the nines, little 17-year-old. And I remember we must have been in the line and we were just like talking and we just hit it off, didn't we?
It was great. It was great. Friendship.
We had a great old time and we're laughing.
I don't even remember that runway. I just remember doing like a boogie down it. And then that is the whole
thing. Yeah, I feel like it was like, it wasn't like serious models. She wanted people to be funny and like,
yeah.
You know, so that's probably why we got picked, because we had like, you know, a bit of personality. But yeah, and then I think we like caught up a few times after that. And then of course, both moved to Melbourne at the same time to pursue our careers and reconnected there. And yeah, I think like it's kind of a bit of a full circle moment, because I know we've both recently moved back to Queensland from Melbourne. And I think we were both sort of on that same path. And I remember like you being so instrumental for me, because I was just starting out as a journalist. I'd just graduated. And I remember you sitting me down, because I was like, oh, I'm not getting work. Like I'm applying for so many roles and I'm going to have to move again and all this stuff. And which ended up being true. But I remember you made me sit down and really like set out the year's goals and like write, you know, I'm going to do this step to get to this and this and this and this. And
yeah,
crazily enough, like, I mean, I should credit myself, but I definitely would credit you, because
I think so. Yes.
You made me get really serious about it and actually knuckle down and go, because I was sort of, I feel like shooting my arrows in a few different directions, just seeing where they landed, you know, or what target they hit. But you were like, no, you need to really focus on like maybe one or two of those things and what the steps you need to take. And I did. And I, you know, obviously went and became a journalist and did all those things. So yeah, I feel like it's kind of cool that you're now on the show talking about career, because I feel like you, I don't know how you knew, but I think freelance life will kind of do that. And I think you have been doing, you know, numerous jobs at a time for many, many years now. So like, walk us through how that's looked for you. I mean, I know it's been a long time, but yeah, like walk us through the early career and some of those decisions that kind of got you into what you're doing now.
Yeah, totally. So I was in Brisbane at the time and I remember I was seeing a boy and he, yeah, totally worked out. And then one day he was just saying he moved to Melbourne because he wanted to take his career seriously. And I, in my head, I was like, okay, well, I'm a creative. I should also be in Melbourne taking my career seriously too. I remember I went over and told mum and I was like, look, mum, I'm going to give you less than a year and then I'm going to move to Melbourne. So naturally she was crying for quite a bit. I was like, just going to give you a fair warning. And then I moved and it was actually the best decision I ever made. So I've been doing freelance for about 10 years now. Probably half of that, I was still also working hospital and retail in between and like promo just to keep the money flow going. But I just remember one day it was getting to the point where I was kind of dicking around too many jobs in hospital and retail to like try and get out of those shifts to then go do my creative work, which I wanted to do obviously full-time and prioritize. So I could tell I was like kind of ruining those relationships pretty well by tapping out a lot. And it was scary. I kind of sat myself down and was like, all right, if we want to take this seriously, we need to try this full-time. As much as it's quite an, you know, it's insecure place in terms of when money is coming and it's never stable, but to this day, it's the best decision I ever made. And it's not, I say this all the time, it's not the job that is stressful ever. It's getting the work. So I'm in such a beautiful position where I absolutely love what I do and all the people I work with. It's just trying to book the work and find out different ways to work, ways to talk to people and, you know, who haven't you talked to for a while and get used to sending a lot of emails.
It's a lot of networking. Yeah, exactly. And I think you've always been like so good at that. And that's coming from someone who, you know, I've had to do that for all of my jobs as well. I had to be, you know, a hustler. But I think you've always just been on it. And it's obviously, paid off for you because although you've always like, as you said, had lots of jobs, like I've never heard you be like, oh, I have absolutely nothing on. Like I've got no income coming through the door. Like you've always had work in one way, shape or form. Why did you kind of decide that you wanted to do what you do, like acting, you know, the film and television kind of space?
Yeah.
Why did that appeal to you?
Well, during high school, I remember my goal was always to be an actor and it still is. But when I was taking a gap year, my mum, you know, I remember having a chat to her being like, you know, why don't you do makeup? So in between acting jobs, you can be on sets doing that. And I was the biggest tomboy at the time. And I was like, makeup? You are crazy. And then I went to do it. I ended up falling absolutely in love with it. And then it's really helped me along. And, you know, I'll do makeup jobs and I'll network there and I might get a producing job from it or I might get an acting job from it. Or I might just get consistent work from that company from then on. So every job presents an opportunity to gain further work, either in that job that I'm doing or in some capacity. And I think that's the beauty of freelance. It's like you really learn very quickly how to, you know, mesh and mold your personalities together and see what works, see what doesn't, to then, you know, keep curating more work together. But I just did it for like 6 months and then they were like, all right, see you later. Good luck. My first day on acting college, she sat us all down. I think there was about a team of 30 of us. And she didn't even say hello. She's like, hey, guys, so basically not even half of you are going to do anything with this degree. And I just wanted to slow clap and be like, wow, what an inspirational speech. But she was like, out of 30 of us, I think only three of us ended up actually working in the field. So she wasn't wrong.
No, that was exactly the same with journalism. They said that to us the first lecture. I think they actually said one and it was like a room of 50.
And you won.
But you're probably like me. Like someone saying that to me literally sounds like, then I have to do it. Maybe that's why they do it. Maybe they're just being like painting a realistic picture. Who knows? But
yeah,
I know I had people along the way and I know, you know, you would have experiences as well, like people being like, oh, that's never going to happen for you. You know, shouldn't totally. You choose something more secure and all this stuff? And those thoughts always rung in my head.
100%. I've had and a lot of close people in my life and they mean it with love because, you know, they never want to see you not stable in life, not have the funds, not struggle. I got so good at having, I remember when I first moved to Melbourne and then I ended up doing freelance, I got so good at having, my favourite dish was rice, tomato sauce and tuna. And I used to get paid out so much for that. And I was like, guys, this, you need to get amongst it.
Oh.
And everyone was like, make more money. Like that forever. It's just going to be a couple of bits. But
that's it.
I had a lot of people around me tell me to, you know, you should focus on full-time work. You know, what else are you doing? Kind of never the forefront was the immediate thought of what you were doing. They were kind of always like, oh yeah, that's happening, but like what are you actually going to do? And it's tricky for every freelancer, but you know, everyone that's saying it, they're watching TV and listening to music and watching movies, and I'm like, that's all the stuff we do. You're welcome.
That's what we do, exactly. That's so true. Did you ever have those moments that you actually nearly gave up? Or
I think it's pretty natural to have moments of doubt, and especially self-doubt's a good little creeper at times, especially 100%. Freelance work. And if you're like a tiny bit quiet for a week or 2 weeks, it's easy to be like, what have I done wrong? What could I be doing differently? But it's just the way it's happening. It's not you. I had moments of self-doubt with acting and stuff as well. But I kind of, and talking to a lot of people around me lately, I think the desperation in itself has calmed down, which is nicer in a way. It's not like I have to be an actor, I have to be doing this. It's like you can get there, just breathe and just work on little micro little bits, like work on bits and pieces to get to that, and don't just see the big picture as like, I have to get to that no matter what, because you're never going to break down steps to get there. And, you know, it's that cliche thing of, if you're not enjoying the journey, what's the point?
So, so true. We caught up recently and I was saying all of this to you, like, obviously after I did my journalism, I went full time into PR, and I feel like I did almost listen to some of those voices. I mean, I loved being a reporter and being on television and radio, but it was ultimately not my own life. I was having to move. I was on the road every day. I was, you know, seeing the craziest things every day. And just like, I would get home, I would get up at 6, get ready, put like, do my layers and layers of makeup, go.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Go to work. I'd already be looking for stories on the way. I'd get to work. I'd be on the road all day. And then I would get home and you'd already be looking for the stories for the next day. So I just felt like I didn't own my own life. And I think, like, I remember just saying to myself, I'm just going to have a break. And I went and did, you know, obviously my more corporate job in PR and communications. And I did that full time for a few years, like 4 years. And then like recently I caught up with you and I said, hey, I've got these ideas. Like, I think I'm going to like do freelance and do, you know, a couple of more creative projects and focus on the podcast stuff, focus on social media work. And it's just flowed, but it's such a scary step to, like, once you have that security, like, it's really scary to step out of it and go, okay, I'm going to go do, like, just throw it all away and just see what happens. But it's exciting. It's exciting though. And I think the excitement of always knowing that there's new opportunities.
Totally. It's like every day is different in some capacity. Mm. It's not the same job, eating the same things every single day. We get to spice it up and we get to meet new people, understand new worlds. And I think that's, you know, man, that's so, we're so lucky to do that. And I was talking to someone the other day and it's funny because once you make that decision to be freelance, it's always, I always thought that motivation leads to action. So I'd be like, come on, I just need to get motivated and then I'll send a whole bunch of emails, whatever.
Yeah.
But as you're doing the action itself, then you get motivated. Like, you start sending that email and then you're like, ooh, I'll send.
I'm on a roll. Like, let's keep going. And I think, like, working from home has really showed me that, like, I was so fortunate to, like, work all through the pandemic, which we'll get to in a minute. But, like, I obviously was in my corporate jobs, but I had really fantastic managers that said, like, if you want to do 8 to 4, or if you want to do, like, I even was able to do a 9-day fortnight at one point. Like, I had a lot of flexibility and I found that was just, like, made me so much more productive in the times that I was working. And I've noticed that with freelance, like, if you're choosing your hours and you're choosing your days, like, you can kind of work your week around what works for you. It's good to see that this is like something that is being discussed and it's more open these days.
And, you know, there is no freelancer manual. There is no like, okay, this is how you should structure it. This is how it should be done. Freelance is very much, how do I feel today? Do I feel very productive? And, you know, it's a lot of, you got to quiet down, like I said, the voice of like self-doubt, or like you're angry at yourself because you didn't do enough on that day to book work. It's, you got to constantly remind yourself of like trying to find that balance, so you don't go lose your mind. And like, yeah. Yesterday I was like, okay, I'll send a couple of emails, but today I'm just going to watch a new show for a while, and that's okay.
I love that, the balance. Obviously, like, we're all over talking about the last 2 years, but I know that your industry was hit very, very hard. Like, how did you, and I know that's something we had been speaking about during the last couple of years in Melbourne when we were both there, but how did you find that shaped your mindset around what you do? And like, did you have, like, were you able to still get work during that time? Like, how did you kind of do that? Like, how did you manage all of that?
Yeah, so I basically didn't work for 2 years. On the in-between snippets, I was always working, which was great because there was always people playing. Our whole industry was just catching up for two years, essentially. I had producers during that time trying to reschedule dates during lockdown. It got to the point where it's like, mate, let's just wait till we're actually open and then we can figure out dates. Like, it's almost you get too excited to get back to work and then you're slammed with another lockdown. And it was the same with me. I was producing some stuff and I just had to tell everyone, like, hey, guys, we'll tap in when we actually know what's going on. Yeah, I couldn't tell you what I did. I'm not too sure. I think I just existed for 2 years. I had beautiful housemates, but they got to work every day. And I was just waiting for someone to play with me, being like, come on. But I just went through, oh God, I went through a lot of paint by numbers, so many. I just needed things to like quieten my brain. I went through, I don't condone this, but I went through a lot of drinking because you're watching so many shows as well that are just drinking hard liquor and you're like, I can do that at 9 a.m., sure. And then you see it's like a bad habit for ages. And then, you know, you go for walks and stuff, but your environment slowly becomes very mundane. Because, and you know, you know, leave.
Did you like have some revelations during that time? Like, were you like, this is showing me how much I love what I do? Or, you know, were you questioning yourself? Like, how did your mindset kind of evolve during that time too?
Gotcha. It just made me really appreciate my work even more. Like, it's, and to know I was in the same boat with a lot of people that I knew and loved. Like, a lot of us were freelancers, and I do surround myself with a lot of creatives, so we're basically in the same boat. So that was good to always lean on each other, and even to just jump on Zoom and just be idiots with each other was just really comforting and nice. It just made me appreciate our industry even more because, you know, what else was I doing? I was just watching TV and movies and listening to music and playing with art and all that kind of stuff, and that really just showed even more how much our industry helps people and, like, mentally helps people at the same time as well, not just for the enjoyment factor. So that was still really good. It kind of pushed me even further to want to be in it. I know other people went the other way where, you know, the instability of kind of tipped people off the edge to go do other career paths. But I don't know, I kind of have the hunger even more just to get back into it. And I know once we could, everyone, there was no point trying to catch up with anyone that was a freelancer because we were just working for like 4 months straight every single day. But, you know, when it rained, it poured, and I think we're all very grateful for it.
So, you know, looking back over the last, over a decade that you've been doing the work that you're doing, like, what advice would you maybe give to your younger self? Like, is there anything you would have done differently, or any advice you wish you'd known back then that you could have put in place?
Yeah, great question. I think the big difference now is social media, and it's a lot easier to access people through jobs. So that wasn't as prevalent back in the day, but I would just kind of tell myself that just to keep going. I think I would try and quit my normal jobs earlier and try freelance quicker. But in saying that, you know, there's a different journey for everyone. And it's such a scary thing to just go freelance and back yourself completely. And, you know, with all the voices around you saying you should be working full time or, you know, what are you actually going to do with your life? It's very tricky to get caught up in that. So I would just tell myself just to keep, you know, head down, bum up, trust yourself, because you know this is what you want to do, regardless of the voices around you. And every job leads to people you didn't know that you were supposed to meet. So, you know, I met one of my best friends probably 5 years ago on a music video. And I remember seeing her, and I remember at the time she came into art department, and I was like, I just kind of can't be bothered talking to this new person. Like, we've had 2 days of the same crew, and I'm like, oh, okay, like I'll make an effort. I just had low energy that day. And then she's now my business partner and best friend, and I do like everything in the industry with her a lot of the time. So it's like, you know, you never know who you're going to meet, and you cultivate your own family through the jobs that you do and through your experiences. And it's such a wonderful thing to be around creatives all the time. You know, like, it's not, you get to sets and you very quickly get to know people. So you get straight to the DMs, you get straight to the deep questions, especially with makeup is like, you know, you want to make people comfortable and happy. So a lot of that time you kind of have to realize, you know, what makes their eyes all sparkly. Cause you know, you've hit a good nerve, and then you end up making great relationships.
So true. What's been the highlight? Like, I'm sure there's been a few, but
that's a big one.
Yeah, like like career highlight, maybe like top two.
Probably acting wise, doing a show called Stage Mums. It was really fun, just really beautiful cast and crew, and that did really well at the time. We didn't expect it, and that was a beautiful blessing. And I'd say makeup wise is probably when I ran my first head of makeup for a feature film. That's probably about 4 years ago. I learned so much on that, and I was in the deep, just thrown in, kind of faked my way into it a bit, not really knowing how to do it, but I learned every day, and I learned, you know, how to run with the team and how to make everyone comfortable, and you know, you're the first people that they see every morning, so it's trying to crack them in a good way.
And have you met anyone really cool?
Oh, this is like a while ago, but I remember doing, this is a short film in Brisbane actually. Hayley McFarlane directed it. She's awesome. Samara Weaving.
Oh, yeah,
she
yeah.
She was great. I did a makeup. She's wonderful. And now she's absolutely crushing it. And yeah. I just remembered pick her up and drop her off every day. And we just geeked out on Harry Potter. It was awesome.
That's
it was so easy.
Cool. I love that.
Yeah, crushing it. So, yeah, she's probably there. But in saying that, like, it's, you know, I get to work with a lot of cool people.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, for sure.
How are you feeling though? Like, how are you feeling getting into a freelance life now?
So I've got like one client that's sort of like regular or like sort of through an agency that I'm doing. So I do like that, which is my regular stuff. And then I've got like some podcast producing. I've done some editing. I do some freelance writing for articles, as well as, yeah, like if random podcast opportunities pop up through this, I take those too. So it's been a very smooth transition, which is kind of great. And I'm also like doing some study and doing some stuff with that. So I'm definitely keeping busy, but yeah, it's weird. Like, I feel like with writing and, you know, communications, journalism, like there's so much. I remember people saying that it was all gonna, like, journalism's dying, it's all going, well, not really. It's just changed format.
Yeah,
like now you're not a journalist, you're a, you know, copywriter. You're writing articles online.
It changes.
You're creating content, like editing videos, writing videos, you know, writing for podcasts, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah, podcast wasn't as popular like 4 years ago or something, and now it's all I listen to when I'm driving.
Me too. And it, like, yeah, it never was a thing, so we never could have forecasted that. So I think that's the biggest thing I've realized is, you know, now I no longer call myself a journalist per se. Like, obviously that's my formal qualifications, but yeah, I still feel like I am one. It's quite nice because that's why I always, like, that's why I even started, is I love talking to people. I love hearing their stories. I love sharing their stories.
That's another thing the industry is like, just be yourself and that work will come, which is, again, so annoying to hear when you're trying to make the money and stuff, but it is true. It's like, you know, look after your health, look after your mental health, and then be the best version you can be, and that'll cultivate work.
Thank you so much. It's been so nice to just catch up. All those things are like relevant across no matter what you're doing. So I think your story is definitely applicable to a lot of people, and like you're very inspiring. You definitely have inspired me. If people want to go and check you out, where can they go find you?
On Instagram. So I'm _ Sam Pierce because my name is not original.
It's taken me too.
Many, many times over. Also, my Instagram for makeup is sampierce.mua.
Amazing. Well, thank you.
Follow for follow, like for like.
Love it. Well, yeah, have a great day.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.